Let's stand to our feet and turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. There's a word the Lord has given unto me for the people of God on this day. To God be the glory. 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So I want you to stop at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we believe the Lord has something for his people today. Say amen. We've located the text. To God be the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 10. Now I plead. Somebody say plead. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the name, in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me according concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power. Somebody say power. It is the power of God. Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. We would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words you've given unto us thousands of years ago would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended. May minds be illuminated. May hearts be encouraged. May souls be convicted. I pray today, O God, let the anointing of the Most High God fall fresh in this place. And God, we shall be ever careful to give you glory, praise, and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It just doesn't make sense. Ushers, you may be seated as well. I want to talk today about the journey of a people who have overcome great trials and travail. And it just doesn't make sense how we survived what we survived, how we got through what we got through, how we got over what we got over. My brother, Elder Pastor Burroughs over there, bless you. Good to see you, my friend. And we bless the Lord. Burrell, not Burroughs, Brother Burrell. Good to see you, brother, and to all of God's children. It just doesn't make sense when you think about the journey some of us have had, how we've gotten from yesterday to today, how we got from yesteryear to this year, how we got from where we were to where we are. And if you just think back over your own life, it just doesn't make sense, does it? Because at some point you had to conclude, like I have, that I'm not smart enough, I'm not good looking enough, I'm not politically connected enough to have accomplished, to have gotten where I've gotten. It was nothing but the grace of God that have gotten you and me to where we are, over what we got over, through what we got through. And for some of you who woke up this morning with some trouble stirring, I need you to understand, it doesn't even make sense how you're going to get out of what you find yourself in right now. Let the church say amen. It doesn't make sense why Catherine Lloyd didn't get a 5-point ticket. Amen, somebody. But for the grace of God. Listen, when you think back over the atrocity of slavery, the deluge of Jim Crow, the burden of segregation, and that's in this country. Think of apartheid in South Africa. Think of what happened to leaders who were colonial, post-colonial leaders in Ghana and in Mozambique and in Liberia and in Uganda and in Kenya, right? Those who were given opportunity to lead after oppression and colonialism, only to take over, right, challenged economies and separated tribes, and yet through God's grace, they've been over to work through their challenges and their travails. I simply posit to you that if you live long enough, there will be a conclusion. You will conclude, like I have concluded, that some things just doesn't make logical sense. And yet, and I, let me say, not only on the good, but also on the challenged, right? The times that we are going through trials and travails, and we have been faithful unto God in our own estimation, that we have been prayed up and stayed up, we have been on the battlefield, hanging on the rough side of the mountain, marching up the king's highway, holding up the bloodstain. Whatever your statement is, you have been doing it, and yet you still find yourself in some manner of trial and tribulation and travail. It doesn't make sense. God, I've been faithful. I've done what you want me to do. I've tried to forgive my enemies. I've tried to pray for those who despitefully use me, and why am I going through what I am going through? It doesn't make any sense. But let me just, I just stop by to remind anyone, someone, and everyone that God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so too are the ways and the thoughts of God above man. And so when I think about this text that Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, it reminds me of who we are as a people of African descent, to have accomplished what we have been able to accomplish in spite of and despite all of the challenges that have been thrown our way. We can walk through the history of black folk in America. We can walk through the history of black folk in Europe. We can walk through the history of black folk in the islands. We can walk through the history of black folk in Africa, as well as South America and Central America, some over in Asia, some over in Oceania. Wherever you find yourself as people of African descent, it is usually on the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. And yet one asks oneself, how have we been able to survive? Well, there have been systematic oppression, systematic and government enforced oppression that have tried to overwhelm us and to literally stamp out the hope that we have. But I'm so glad that there is a God that doesn't leave us nor forsake us when we find ourselves in places that just doesn't make any sense. Paul talks to the Christians about the foolishness of God. But before I get to the foolishness of God, I want to use three words for you today. One is the word factions. I want to talk about Paul's statement about division in the body of Christ, what we find in verses 10 through 14. And then I want to pick up 10 to 17. Then I want to pick up on this notion of the foolishness of God. And then I want to end on a statement about God's glory. God's given me another word there, fulcrum. I'm going to talk about that when we get to that third point. But simply state that we want to talk about the glory of God. Paul opens up this pericope, if you would, this statement of scripture in verse number 10 by talking about divisions. The word factions is not mentioned, but the word divisions are. And so when you look at verse number 10, the first part of verse 10, it says, "Now I plead with you that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you." He goes on to say at the end of verse number 10, "But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment." Paul has been getting word from some folk in Chloe's house, amen somebody, that there have been contentions among the body of Christ. The word contentions, another fancy way of simply saying everybody in the body wasn't getting along. Paul goes on to explicate what those in Chloe's house had given report, that some folk in the Corinthian church, now listen, we don't know how big the Corinthian church was. Remember, we're talking about antiquity. We're talking about no modern travel, no modern communication, no modern stuff that we have today. And so there were small little enclaves of people who were believers in what was really called the way of Christ, the way of believing, the way of journey to God. It was Christians in the early years were called Christians who were believers in the way. And so the Christians in Corinth that Paul, to whom Paul is writing, he simply say, I don't know how big that church is, but he says to them, some of you all are getting caught up in divisions. And if I were to take a little bit of license with the text, I would even say this is an early form of denominationalism. Why do I say that? Because some folk in the Corinthian church were saying, well, I don't know who you were baptized by, but I was baptized by Apollos. And other folk would say, well, you were baptized by Apollos. I was baptized by Paul. And Paul and others would say, you were baptized by Apollos and Paul. I was baptized by Cephas, verse number 12. And I like what Paul says to this. He says, I'm so glad that I didn't baptize none of y'all. Listen, I took a little bit of license with the text, but that's literally almost what he is saying in verse number 13 and 14. He says, verse 14 and 15, I thank God that I baptized none of you. Now, if I can just say it in the vernacular, I'm so glad I didn't baptize none of y'all difficult so-and-sos and so-and-sos. Y'all caught up in the wrong thing. You're getting caught up in an early form of denominationalism, right? Because look at what we do. John Wesley founded the United Methodist Church, so we're Wesleyans or we're Methodists. Or Richard Allen founded the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and so we're African Methodist Episcopalians. Or we can go into the founder of Anglicanism, or some who founded Baptist congregational churches in Rhode Island, or any of our denominations were founded by some man and even some woman. Even Catholics look to the Pope, right, as the prelate that sits on the throne of Peter. Peter's bones are believed to be buried to this day in the bottom of the Vatican. And so he who sits at the Vatican at the top of a billion person church known as the Holy Roman Church, the Catholic Church, then he sits in a position in which he says that he wants to follow Christ. But some folk get caught up, it's about Peter. And if you're not like me, then you're not really saved. And I just stop by to say what Paul said. That's nonsense, because if you get caught up into individual personalities, then you're missing the great personality that saved all of us in the first place. Listen, a contemporary form of this is my bishop is so and so, and my bishop is so and so, and my pastor is so and so, and my apostle is so and so. I hope to God that your bishop and your pastor and your apostle are submitted to Jesus the Christ, because there's only one person. Paul says it. Did Paul die for you? Did Cephas die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Let me just remind you, Darrell Armstrong didn't hang on a cross for you. And so you better look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, we got to get this thing right and stop getting caught up in personality, and stop getting caught up in denominations, and stop getting caught up in what you want and what you want. It does not matter what you and I want. All that matters is what Jesus wants. And if we get caught up in Jesus, we're going to be all right. Come on, somebody. Paul says the divisions among you, the contentions among you. And listen, this was about baptism, but Paul's ultimate statement is about who you're giving the glory to. Amen, somebody. And so at some point, even in the church, listen, Shiloh and any church out there, black, white, red, or brown, is not immune to divisions and factions and contentions in the church. And Paul simply says, you need to be reminded about what was the ultimate sacrifice. Let me go ahead and get on somebody's street right now. It's not about your ministry. It's not about your solo. It's not about your prayer. It's not about your what you're doing in the body. If you don't do it for Jesus, then you might as well not do it at all. If you're not singing for Jesus, you might as well not sing at all. If you're not playing for Jesus, you might as well not play. If you're not praying to Jesus, come on, somebody. If you're not standing on the usher door for Jesus, then you might as well sit down and not stand at all. Because at the end of the day, only what you do for Christ. Come on, grandmama said it. Only what you do for Christ. Some of y'all are not getting it. Only what you do for Christ is going to stand. All of this other stuff is sinking sand. You better make sure what you're doing in the church, you're doing it for the Lord. You better make sure it's not about you. It's not about your ego. It's not about your arrogance. It's not about your pompousness. If it's not for Christ, then it is not worth anything that you're doing, and you're doing it in vain. Some of us get caught up in the very same thing. The issue is different, but the result is the same. In this case, it was baptism. Who baptized me? But Paul comes and he says, in point of fact, the whole letter to the Christians in Corinth is about this issue of dealing with divisions in the church. And if you read through the text, not only in 1 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians as well, Paul addresses factionalism and contentions, and in some cases heresies in the church. And like a good shepherd, he's trying to get the people of God to be back on the right course. And Paul says in verse number 17, Christ did not send me to baptize. Listen, don't get it wrong. What he's doing is ordering that which is most important. If I'm going to do baptizing over preaching, preaching is always going to win out every time. If I'm going to do preaching over praying, preaching is going to win out. Because how shall they hear without a preacher? The Bible says the Word of God shall change the hearts and the minds of the people. Paul says, I didn't come just to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And here's where he transitions, not with wisdom of words. Verse 17, put it up there. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Now he transitions to the foolishness of the gospel. after having dealt with the factionalism in the church. He says in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness. If you were to count how many times Paul mentions the word foolish or foolishness in the text, you get the clear picture that he's making a clear and clarion point. He's talking about that which is nonsensical. And yet he uses the word as a double entendre. That which has one meaning in the secular realm, but has another meaning when you look at it in the spiritual realm. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Listen, none of us have arrived, y'all. All of us are still being saved. I know you have a belief. I believe it too. Once saved, always saved. But how many of you know that once you have been saved, you still need to stay on your bending knee? You need to fall fresh before the Lord every day. You need to not think you have arrived. And yet I know there's some Christians, Pastor Burrell, who think they've arrived. They think they're holier than thou. They think they do nothing wrong. But I need someone to be reminded today of what Paul says, that once you have been saved, it's a historical progressive. It started yesterday, but it's still moving on today. I got saved when I was 12 years old in my house at 1322 West 97th Street in the heart of South Central Los Angeles. I was a member of the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church. I was 12 years old. I remember reading Revelations chapter 1 where John said that Jesus says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. And at 12 years old, Deacon Paul, tears started coming down my eyes. I said, Lord, I accept you in my life. I want to be a Christian. But from 12 years old to 45, I'm still walking up the King's Highway. I've made some mistakes, y'all. I'm still being saved. God is still working on me. I'm so glad I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I want to be. I gotta keep on marching, keep on walking, keep on praying, keep on holding, because God is not finished with me. Tap your neighbor and say, God's not finished with me. Thank God he's still walking on me. Somebody better thank God for grace, and somebody better thank God for mercy, because unless you think you have arrived, God has a funny way, Pastor Burrell, of knocking you off your high horse. Yeah, he does. Paul says, those who are being saved. Listen, he sets up the double entendre. To those in the world, Jesus and the gospel is foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Didn't I tell you earlier, it didn't make sense how you got through what you got through. But when folk look at you, they scratch their head and say, I thought we left you for dead. I thought we robbed you of all your hope. I thought we knocked you down enough that you would never get back. But to those who are being saved, somebody say power. It is the power of God. I'm still standing on the word, because the word is my strength. The word is my power. The word is my joy. The word is my peace. The word is my all in all. Whatever I need, I find it. In God's word, Paul says it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. See, here's where Paul goes back and forth using this Greek word, wisdom. The Greek word for wisdom is sophia. And if you think about the root word sophos, you will find it in the word sophistication. Sophos. Sophistication. Those who are sophisticated think they so wise. I have another way of saying it. Bougie folk think their money's what got them where they are. Think their education got them where they are. Bougie folk. You can have black bougie folk. You can have white bougie folk. You can have Asian bougie folk. You can have African bougie folk, European bougie folk, Mexican bougie folk, Latino bougie folk. Listen, it is the foolishness of thinking you don't need God in your life. That's what makes you bougie. Sophisticated. I know you drive nice, live nice, wear nice, smell nice. Sophisticated. But when some folk look at you, it's all foolishness. Because if you really know where your power comes from, you would know it's not in your bank account, and you would know it's not in your zip code, and you would know it's not in the little man or woman that's on your lapel. You would know it's not about your fraternity. It's not about your sorority. It's not about the lodge. It's not about where you work. That's all foolishness. It's about God. Another root word of sophos is philosophy. Philo. Sophia. So sophos. Right? Philadelphia is love. The city of brother love. Phila in philosophy is the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world. Philosophy. And a lot of folk spout philosophy because they're so educated. Here's what I always say the difference between philosophy and theology is. Philosophy is telling me what you think. Theology is telling me what God told you to say. And I'd rather have your theology than your philosophy. Because how many of you know if you got 10 people, all 10 of them got a different philosophy. And if you listen to all 10 of them, you will be crazy. But I'm so glad God said there's only one God. I know what my mama said. I know what my daddy said. I know what the preacher said. But tell me what God says. And so that word sophos or sophia is the root word that Paul uses in wisdom. And so look at verse number 20. Where is the wise? Where are the sophos, those who practice wisdom? Where are the scribes? Where are the disputers of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message, come on somebody, to save those who believe. And so now Paul sets up a dichotomy, a choice between the wisdom of the world or the foolishness of God. And I don't know about you, but I've learned in my young life that if it's a choice between the wisdom of the world and the foolishness of God, I'm always going to choose the foolishness of God. Because even though I don't know why God does what God does, when God does it, I can rest assured that whatever you want to do, God, you go ahead and have your own way. Because all that I know is that when God gets finished with me, I'm better than where I was. I'm stronger than what I was. I'm wiser. Y'all not getting the message, are you? The foolishness of God is always better than the wisdom of the world. And Paul makes that point over and over and over again. He says in verse 22, for Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Listen, Paul now makes a cultural, racial, ethnic statement that whether you're Jew or whether you're Greek, don't get caught up in what the world wants you to get caught up in. I want you to get caught up in God. I know some folk think that's foolish that you believe Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish. I know that some folk think that's crazy that you believe God fed some people in the wilderness with some manna. I know y'all think that's crazy that Moses struck a rock and some water came running out. I know y'all think that crazy that Elijah spoke a word and the axe head began to float on water. I know y'all think that's crazy that God took a little old David and slew a big man like Goliath. I know y'all think it's crazy that Mary had a little old baby and nobody said that, nobody knew her. But I want y'all to know that I think it's not crazy that Jesus was hung on a cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He stayed there all night Friday night. He stayed there all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, my Jesus got up with all power in heaven and earth. I know some folk don't believe it. Some folk think I'm crazy, but just call me a fool for Jesus. I believe he got up, y'all. I believe he's got power, y'all. I believe it was nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Does anybody else believe it? Or am I the only crazy one? Foolishness to the world. It doesn't make sense why God and how God did what God did. It doesn't make sense that I got a black man in the White House today. It doesn't make sense that we got our first black senator from the state of New Jersey. And if God has his way and answers my prayer, we're going to have the first black United States congresswoman. Come on, somebody. In the person of Bonnie Watson Coleman. It doesn't make sense. What God does, when God does it, how God does it. Foolishness to the world. Wisdom of God. Paul ends his statement. I'm going to go to my seat. I can stay here a little while longer, but I can't. He goes on to say at the end of verse number 29, my third point, fulcrum. I said, Lord, give me another word that begins with F. God answered my prayer. The word fulcrum means the thing that plays the central or essential role in an activity. Paul says the central message is this, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his own presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I just came to tell somebody that if you don't give anybody some glory, don't give it to the preacher, don't give it to the teacher, don't give it to the deacon, don't give it to the deaconess, don't give it to the choir member, don't give it to the usher, don't give it to the finance office, you better give it to God, because nobody saved you but God, nobody delivered you but God, nobody rescued you but God, nobody brought you out but God. I need somebody to say, but God. Nobody opened the door but God. Nobody built a bridge but God. Nobody made a way out of no way but God. Nobody healed your body but God. Nobody gave you a job but God. Nobody kept your child but God. Nobody kept you in your right mind but God. Nobody fixed your marriage but God. You better give God the glory. Yeah.
Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Do I have any worshipers here today? Do I have anybody who knows where your blessing comes from? But God, glorify him. Magnify him. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When other folk trying to get you to look down, you tell them, but God, look up. And that's what Paul was trying to tell the people. Forget this mess down here. Look up to God from whence cometh your help. And I believe if we do that, beloved, God will fight the battles. God will move the mountains. God will open the door. Be a mind regulator, heart fixer, a heavy burden carrier. The name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. But God. Somebody say, but God. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation. But God. It just doesn't make sense. But God. That's your answer to everything. But God. Somebody here. Somebody here needed to hear the message today on Black History Culmination Sunday. What a day to do it, because we are not where we are, but for God. But for God. They tried to kill us, y'all. But for God. And I need you to personalize and individualize that today. If you're here, you don't have a church home, I want you to come forward. If you want special prayer, step in the aisles and one of these men or women will pray for you. But most importantly, the fulcrum, the central message is, if you don't know God for yourself, God wants you to have a relationship with him. And so if you're here, you've never said, Lord, I surrender. I need you to do it today. It's one of my favorite songs. Sing, choir. Sing to the glory of the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
From the bottom of my heart.
From the bottom of my heart.
To the depths of my soul.
To the depths.
Thank you, Lord.
Of my soul.
Anybody here want to say yes, Lord? Anybody here want to say yes, Lord? Completely yes.
Completely yes.
Oh, my soul.
My soul.
Thank you, God.
Says yes.
Anybody here want to say yes to the Lord?
Yes, Lord.
Anybody here today? Anybody here today?
Yes, Lord.
Look at God today. Look at God today. Let the church say amen. To God be the glory. Anybody else here? Anybody else here want to say yes, Lord? Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord.
From the bottom. Oh, to the depths.
To the depths of my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Completely yes.
Choir's going to take it down a little bit. Keep singing. Just hum it to yourself for a moment. Listen, if you know the Lord is speaking to you, you're in something, you didn't know how you got in, and you don't know how you're going to get out. Doesn't make sense. Paul reminds us,
that if you keep your focus on Jesus, some folk around you may call that foolishness, but God calls it wisdom. But some folk around you will say they're wise and you're a fool. But you need to make a choice. I'd rather be a fool for God than to be wise in the world. In the name of, we're going to sing another verse of this, I love you. And as we sing this, I want someone just to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because he loved you so much, I want to know how much you love him. Come on, somebody. So the choir is going to sing this song one more time. And if you know God is speaking to you, I want you to just come out of your seat and come forward. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Come on, let's lift up this next verse in the name of the Lord Jesus. One more time. Anyone else here? Tell God how much I love you. Yes, Lord, we love you, God. Yes, we do.
I love you from the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul.
I love you.
I love you.
I really do.
I really do.
My soul.
Stay
right there, Aaron. One more time. My soul says yes.
My soul says yes.
Come on, put your hands together and give God a praise offering in this place. Father, I thank you today for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Bless your people. Cover them under the blood of Jesus, I pray. If there's someone here who did not make the decision, help them understand that the rest of the day is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not promised. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen.